holding on Lamed Gimel on the day of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shnaim Shekidshu Shtei Nashim, there are two people, two men who were Mekadosh two women. But then when it came time to enter the chuppah, which is when you do the nisurin, they mixed up one's wife with the other. Oh, imagine, you know, you have the towels of veils on there, like, you know. Somebody said online, evidently, you know, each one decided they wanted the other one's wife better. We'll see, think about what it actually means. Okay. If they have relations under those circumstances, then each of them, all four of these people are hired because of the Mishumeshes Ish. And if these two people were brothers, Mishumeshes Ish, then they have the Isser as well, that's what we're talking about the Gemara. We're back to Isser Kovel Zemosis, that's what we're going to get into that, yeah. The other one is each woman is also the other woman who's not your wife is also your brother's wife. Remember, the kedushin did the first stage of marriage, so each one of them is already considered an eshes ish. V'im hoyu achoyas, and if the two women are sisters as well, then you have a third thing, which is mishal achoyas. You have a problem.
Eshes ish after kedushin,
that's the halacha. Yeah. They brought in the footnotes over there that Maharam Rutenberg wanted to say that there's a distinction between that you say she's an Ishes Ish as far as a Chathas, for example, but not necessarily as far as Mrs. Bastian, but everybody else disagrees with that, and in fact it seems Maharam himself eventually changed his opinion about that.
So the children are not there.
If they had children, yeah, we're going to get, that's the next thing the mission is going to get to, but wait. They're sisters, you have a problem with a woman and her sister. And what happens if these women as well are nida at the time, then you have a fourth problem, mishum nida. The Gemara is going to explain why the mishnah is doing this. The point is, again, in order to illustrate this idea of when we do and don't say isur chalal isur.
Achas ish,
and nida. And then after the mix-up happened, and then they straightened it out, they have to separate each of these women from their husbands for 3 months, shanamu baratin, because they might have become pregnant from the initial via over there, and then you're not going to know whose children the children are. Yes, if children were born from that, they'd be mamzerim, that's true, but we're not really getting into that, because that's fairly obvious. We're focusing more on the fact we don't want that eventually a kid's going to be born and we're not going to know whether the mom is there or kosher, or even if it's not a question among Zayrid, we're not going to know who his father is. We'll talk about it in the next paragraph, and later on in the Masechta, there's going to be a number of such cases where we say that a woman has to wait 3 months before remarrying for these kinds of reasons. If the women are children, Shane and Rulius Lele, they're not able to give birth yet anyway, then they can return to their husbands immediately because there's no possibility they're pregnant. One more thing, if these women are koyanos nifsalu min atruma, or actually it says you on the side min kahuna, then they become posel from the kahuna. What that means, we'll talk about in the Gemara at the very end of the parak.
But you can be ktana and become koyanos.
We learned in the first parak that in Gemara physiology, which you know Torah al arayf sadaver anyway, that the it's Torah al arayf sadaver. The Torah speaks about the majority cases, and you learn there below 12 years old, a woman, even if she's able to become a girl, even if she's able to become pregnant, is not going to give birth to a viable baby, and she herself is probably going to die in childbirth. So therefore, there's less an issue of whose child was going to be. Rivka was 3 when she got married, although actually Tosfos later on in the Septa brings from a medrash that actually she was 14. But the standard medrash that we're familiar with say that she was 3. Fine, but she didn't become pregnant then. We see they waited 10 years before they even started having the children.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that she got married at 3 meant that they didn't try to do Kuru.
Maybe not. Not necessarily, but even if they did, they may have done via in order to do the nisurin. It's possible, but whatever it is, at that age, a woman is not normally going to become pregnant. What do you mean they exchanged their wives? It sounds like they did it on purpose. Is the mission talking about a case of rishayim? For one thing, we're talking about over here what kind of chatoris they're chayiv. But true, and not only that, how the tani of chia hare kan shei shetzi chatoris. We learn actually explicitly in a braisa from chia that each of these that all together there is going to have to be 16 chatoris brought. If we have the last case in the Mishnah where you have four isurim involved, eishes ish, eishes achiv, achos ishtoi, and nida. So each of the husbands is going to have to bring four chatoris. Each of the wives is also going to have to bring four chatoris because all of them were shogig. So you have 16 altogether. Even mazed me to carbon. So if they did this with mazed, there's no carbonus. So what do you mean hechlifu? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Tani Huchlifu. So you're right, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to correct the word of the wording of the mission. It doesn't mean hechlifu, they did it on purpose. It means huchlifu, they were accidentally exchanged. Now I'm going to stop since this is also in fact logical, because Tani safer, because the end of the Mishnah continues. We said that if their children who are not able to give birth, Mahzir knows me yet, said they can return to their husband immediately. Now we have to ask, if they had done it b'mezid, how would that be allowed? An Eshet Ish, who's Mizana, is also to her husband. So obviously it has to have been by accident. My answer is holy kasha. That's not such a big. That if it was only that, we wouldn't have such a big proof from that. Because that's not really a kasha. Pitukana onus nidu, because the katana in modern law they have this kind of thing. In American law and most places they have this kind of thing also. Katana is not able to give consent. Effectively, even though it seems that it was consent, even if we want to say that it was consensual, that the two brothers decided to exchange wives. The girls, as little girls, can't have consented to that. But Ernest Yisrael, Mishra Shadi, and the din is that Yisrael, whose wife was raped, is mutter to him. Effectively, here it would be the statutory rape, they call it nowadays. So you can't prove anything from that. Even the fact that we're saying that these women are able to return to their own husband doesn't prove anything about whether the original exchange was done consensually or by mistake.
They were Thomas.
So that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
And if they were. Then
well, that's the next thing. Hello, the Katani Mafrishina is a slush Hadashim Shavu Mubarak saying, what does the Mishnah contain? But we have a proof from a different part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that you make them stay apart from their husbands for 3 months because they might be pregnant, which implies Holav Mubarak Shavu, which would imply if they're not pregnant, if you know, in other words, that after 3 months, when you see they're not pregnant, then they're Mutter. Or for that matter, even if you see they are pregnant, for that matter, because then at that point you know the child they're carrying is already from the wrong husband and he's a Mutter. Even mazed mishari. Again, you're back to the question that if it was mazed, then how would they be allowed? So you can't use the excuse of onus. These are older women. Elolav shmami no hochlefu. So obviously that shows that the Mishnah must mean hochlefu. They were accidentally exchanged. I mean, okay, that proves it. Yeah. Okay, that proves it. Now, I'm going to ask. Oman hay tana v'isur le'isur kolol v'isur moses v'isur basafa. Now, which tana did we find? We talked in previous sugya about we had a couple of different opinions about what Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon hold. We said that Rav Shimon would hold that an Isur Moisif is Isur Chalal Isur, but not any other kind. And then we have that Kapara we said that Rav Shimon holds that Isur Basachas is Chal, but nothing else. We had that Kapara misunderstood that, we said in the end, and thought that even Isur Basachas is called to appoint Rav Shimon. We had a point to Rav Yossi, does he hold by Isur Moisif? Does he hold by Isur Basachas? Whatever. Where do we find a Tana who holds of all of these three things? Now, how do you have over here?
And
Basachas. Now, how do we have over here? Let's consider. When Reuben is Makadosh Rachel, then you have the first Isur comes in. Then you have the first two Isurim come in. She immediately at that time becomes Eishes Ish, and at the same moment she becomes Eishes Achim. So there you have Isur Basachas, two Isurim that come at the same time. Later on, when Shimon is Makadosh Leah, the Rachel's sister, this is an Isur Kolol then. This wasn't Basachas, this didn't happen at the same time. But now you have an Isur Kolol. Now you have an Isur Kolol because now Shimon is also in all the other sisters as well. He's also in Bila and Zilpah and so forth. Therefore, that's an Isur Kolol and makes him chayiv even more so in Rachel, Reuben's wife, Reuben's betrothed. There's Isur Kolol. Then you have when the women become nida, since now they're also to their husbands, where previously they were mutter to their respective husbands, and now they're also to their respective husbands, then they become more also to everybody else as well. That's the Zumosif. So we have in our Mishnah example. So we have in our Mishnah each of the Isurim. You have the second Isur is Fasacha, the third one is Tolo, the fourth one is Moses. And the Mishnah is saying Yechayev on all four counts. And we have the Braith of Rafiya saying Yechayev on all four. No, so the first Isur is just an Isur. The second Isur is Isur Basacha, so it happens at the same time as the first one. Third one is Isur Kolo, because it adds more cases where you would be also more. When Shimon is Mekadosh, is Mekadosh Leia. And the fourth one, Nida, is Isur Moses. Is there a samosif? Because previously Rachel was mutter to Reuben and Leah was mutter to Shimon, and now they're also even to their husband. That's a samosif. But which Tana holds of that? That would be according to Rav Meir. The Tanya, yesh oichal achila achas. We learn in it, or it's not actually, it's a Mishnah in Krisus. You can have a case of somebody who eats one kizayis, v'chayev alayar arba hataris v'asham echad. He'll be chayev for four hataris and one asham. Namely, Tomei, Sha'ocho Chelev, the person is Tomei, he ate Chelev, Vahu Noiser, this Chelev is Noiser, it's left over from a Korban, Noiser Min Mukdashin, and it's Noiser from Kodshim, V'yem HaKippurim, and it's on Yom Kippur. So you have the four Yisurim are, number one, he ate from a Korban, we'll see the order in a second, but we'll see how it works. But the point is, the four Yisurim are, he was Tomei and he ate Kodshim, he ate Chelev, he ate Noiser, and it was on Yom Kippur. So, and Rav Meir, Im Hoseh Shabbos Vayitziyim B'Piv Chai, Rav Meir adds, here's the fifth thing. If this happened on Shabbos, and while he was eating it, he walked outside, so he took it out in his mouth. The Shosus points out, usually you're potter for taking out something in your mouth, but if it's something that you normally carry in your mouth, like food, then you are hired for it.
In your mouth?
Well, nice. Whatever the shear is of food. In the case of Isuri Achila, usually it's a kazayas. In the case of Yom Kippur, actually it's kakasevet, we said, the size of a date. And in the case of Shabbos, it's different kinds of food, different shiurim, whereas we live in Shabbos. But whatever it is, yes. I mean, this is negeya nowadays. The person who walks outside on Shabbos chewing gum, then it's an issue. Anyway, he says chayev, then he's chayev on a fifth count. Now, why did he mention only Shabbos? So Rashi says the reason is because Rav Meir holds that you're not chayev for carrying out an Yom Kippur. We had a machlokes like this in one of the previous sefers in Moed. I can't remember now which one, about whether you're chayev for carrying an Yom Kippur or not. Rashi says Rav Meir evidently holds the point of the opinion you're not chayev for carrying an Yom Kippur only on Shabbos, so therefore he only talks about Shabbos. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? That's not what the Gemara says over there. The Gemara says in Krisus says over there that explanation is a mistake. And it ends up saying that no, what Rav Meir means is that actually, if it was just Yom Kippur, then he'd be chayav for one more chatos for carrying on Yom Kippur. If it was Shabbos and Yom Kippur, he's actually going to have two more chatos, one for Shabbos, one for Yom Kippur. Anyway, Amar lo, the Chachamim answered him, true, but eina min hashem. It's not part of the same category, really. You're being chayav him on the various things because he ate chayla, which is noiser, etc. The fact that he's carrying it out is not really relevant. Yeah, it could happen. It's a different type of Isur, basically. Yeah. So what are we talking about over here? Again, we have over here. That when this animal first came into existence, when it was created or when it was born, whatever, however you want to look at it, then its chaylev was already osur at that time. But chaylev is also bachila and mutlana. Then you makdish this animal.
You can sell it.
You can do anything you want with it. You can use it to smear on leather to tan it or whatever. Yeah. And Torah specifically says you're allowed to use chaylev for any purpose. You're just not allowed to eat it. Yeah. So the chaylev starts out by being also b'achila and mutar b'hanah. You makdish the animal. Now you're also in hanah in the whole animal. Therefore, the chaylev is included. That's Isur Kolo. That's Isur Kolo, because now you have other things which were mutter before now become usur. That's Isur Kolo. Next, you...
Isur Mosif would be
if more people are usur in it. Next comes the korban becomes noiser. now it's also even to bring on the Mizbeach. No, sorry. The thing about Kodshim, actually, the fact that it becomes Kodshim is not Isser Moisif, actually. It's not Isser Kodol. Rashi says it's Isser Moisif. It is an Isser Moisif, because previously you were allowed to have Hanah from it. Now you're not allowed to have Hanah from it. We're not talking about a thing that's Mutter became Osir. We're talking about the thing that's Osir itself gained a stronger degree of Isser.
Right.
And that's Moisif.
Indeed.
Yeah. Then it became no. So you're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. Therefore, even the Kayyim are not allowed to eat it now. That's again, a greater Isser has been added to it. Or not really a greater Isser. A greater Isser, because before the Kayyim, well, no, the Chalav we're talking about has been also all the time. No, the now it's an Isser Moisif because previously it was mutter to burn the fat on the Mizbeach. Now it's also to burn it on the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach effectively has an Isser on it that it didn't before. That's Isser Moisif. Then it became Tomei, where up until now the meat at least would have been mutter, but now it's also to the Kayin.
When did it become Tomei?
Pashtus after it became Noisif. So now you have an Isser Kolel. So before the Kohen was mutter to eat the meat, now he's also to eat the meat, and along with that he's also to eat the fat. Then comes Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur you were allowed at least to eat Cholin. Now comes Yom Kippur and you're not allowed. So that's another Isser Kolel. So you have two Isser Moisif and two Isser Kolel so far. And Rav Meir is adding this thing about carrying it on Yom Kippur, or Shabbos as the case may be. What happens as the moment Yom Kippur comes, two Isser of Machal, the Isser of eating and the Isser of carrying. Or actually, no, according to Rashi, the Isser of Yom Kippur and the Isser of Shabbos. According to Tosfos, it would be the two Isser of carrying. Whatever it is, the point is that we see Rav Meir also holds the Isser of Machal.
The only one is held by the four.
By the three, actually. So therefore, we see when our Mishnah is saying that you have all three cases, it has to be according to the mayor. Kolel, Moses, and Basachas, yeah. Now, okay, the question is, Rav Meir al-Libidaman. Now, who is Rav Meir himself going according to? Rav Meir himself, now, besides for this business about Isser Kolel and Isser Moses and Isser Basachas, we also have another issue, which is, we learned way back in Shabbos, called Tal B'Dvar Mitzvah. We had it in Pesachim as well. If a person does malacha on Shabbos for shogeg, for example, he's chayav chatas. Does that apply if he did it in the course of performing a mitzvah or what he thought was a mitzvah? We had the case where there was a bris on Shabbos where he made a mistake and did a bris on the wrong kid. The machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on that subject. So we have to ask Rabbi Meir, I'll live a demand. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, when we're talking about over here, they're getting married, which is a mitzvah, and we're saying yes that they're chayav chatas. So who does he hold like? If he goes according to Rabbi Yeshua, how much Rabbi Mitzvah Potter? Rabbi Yeshua holds that if you make a mistake in Rabbi Mitzvah, you're Potter from a Chatas because you were trying to do the Mitzvah. A Chatas would only be if you were trying to do something of Rishus. El Alibid Rabbi Eliezer. So necessarily we have to say that a mayor holds like Rabbi Eliezer. We have the case over there in Shabbos. We said that you're high. We have the case over there. We had a couple of different variations on the case, but one of them was supposed that the Moyel had two babies that he was supposed to do a bris for. One was supposed to be on Shabbos, one was supposed to be on Sunday. By mistake, he did the Sunday baby on Shabbos. So he ended up doing, it wasn't even really a bris for halacha because it's only the seventh day, not the eighth day. But he was told it's bar mitzvah, and therefore we have a machlokes from Eliezer and reassure whether he's potter. So here we have a similar thing where he thought he's doing periviridivya with his wife. He's doing, periviridivya or whatever, with his wife. Really, it's an ashes ish, an ashes achiv, and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Eliezer will say he's chayav a carbon. And Rabbi Meir, then, who holds the isu chalal isu in all cases, agrees with that shita, and therefore he's saying it. Ibayisema, or another possibility, lo'olam alibidin of Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you should be potter because of the Talmud Bar Mitzvah. Same way as the Moyel was potter over there.
No,
we don't know whether what Rabbi Yeshua holds about Isser Chalal Isser.
Oh.
We're saying within the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we can then discuss, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, who are the next generation, whether Isser Chalal Isser in various cases. Or another possibility, really, we could say, after all, that Rav Meir holds according to Rav Yeshua, which is more probable, because Rav Yeshua, the halacha is like Rav Yeshua. The difference is, Kikam, Rav Yeshua, Tov, Rav Mitzvah, Potter. You know when Rav Yeshua says, this Tov, Rav Mitzvah, is Potter, Hanimila Gabi Tinoikas. This is like, for example, in a case involving the baby, for Bris Mila, does Mane Bohol. You know why Rav Yeshua is saying he's Potter? Because he's in a rush. He knows that, assuming that he didn't realize he has the wrong baby, but if it was the right baby, he has to do the bris today. Of course, the bris can be done later. It can be a delayed bris, but preferably the mitzvah is supposed to be done on the eighth day. So therefore, he's in a hurry. He's in a rush to do the mitzvah properly, and therefore, it's a little bit more of an onus, so to speak, when he accidentally does the wrong one.
And the women?
Avol hai, kiven de'ein zman e'bohol loy. But here, there's not such a rush. Who says you have to do knisa l'chupa right away? What you're worried about says because your food for the party is going to get spoiled. That's not a reason. That's not considered tov bar mitzvah. The Gemara asks, why? In other words, in this case, rather than being in such a rush to go and do knisa l'chupa, they should have, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, they should have sat down and figured out the situation and make sure they know who's who. Unlike in the case of the babies, where the mother knows he has to get the bris done today, and therefore he may be in a rush. Loy belongs to the previous sentence. Bahari truma. What about the case of truma? The ein zman e'bohol. We see that there the kohen who eats truma is not in such a rush because truma you can eat any time. The kapater, and we find in a similar case that Rav Yeshua says that you're potter, namely the tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Truma, if a Kohen is eating Truma, and in the middle of eating Truma, he finds out that he's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, which makes it possible, it's a Cholol. It's a Cholol, yeah. Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Karen Machayev Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Eliezer says he's going to be Chayev like a Zar who eats Truma. He's going to have to pay the principal, the extra fifth, the quarter actually, and Rabbi Yeshua says he's Poter. So you see, by the same because Rav Yeshua says he's Tov bar mitzvah. He thought he's doing a mitzvah of eating truma. Now truma doesn't have a specific time to eat it, and Rav Yeshua is still saying he's potter. But why are we saying in our Mishnah, even though why would we say we saying that he's potter with Tov bar mitzvah? Now Tosfos points out the Gemara could have answered that that's actually a special case. The Gemara could have answered that we find that b'di'evit, if a cholol does the avoda, that it's kosher. So by the same token, b'di'evit, he's eating the truma, will pater him. But the Gemara finds a better reason. B'di'evit. Baruch Hashem chayla.
That was one
time. The Gemara says ha'itma olah, but that's not the. We said in Pesachim when we discussed it in Pesachim that we learned Amar Rabbi Barabaya Hacha b'truma b'erev Pesach Haskin. We're not just talking about plain old truma. We're talking about the machlokas is he's eating truma on erev Pesach. Does mana when it comes? Does mana bowl? There is a deadline for it. There is a time limit by which he has to eat. It's 6 hour, 5th hour midrabanan. So yes, therefore that's the case of mana bowl. It's exactly the same case as the babies. Whereas in our case, there's no reason that there should be mana bowl. Even if, let's say, you're going to answer it right before Yom Tov, fine, marry her after Yom Tov, or do the Nisuyin, whatever, right? Do the Knesset L'Chupa after Yom Tov. There's no rush that has to be done that for now. The Ibayisema, or another possibility. Till now, we were saying that the various Isurim in our Mishnah come in different ways. Some are Isur Kolol, some are Isur Moisif, some are Isur Batachas. Now we're going to try a different tack. All of the Isurim in our Mishnah actually happened to Basachas. And then we could say that our Mishnah even goes to the point of Shimon. We established before that Shimon does agree by Isur Basachas that they're Chal, because you can't logically say if you have two Isurim coming at the same time, there's no logical reason to say one should push away the other. In our Mishnah, you can find a scenario where all four Isurim happen at once. You ask why? Vishnim Akula Mashkachas, who I can find three of them, Gavasachas. Namely, the Shavinu Shliach. Suppose that the two brothers made somebody a Shliach. The two brothers together made one Shliach to bring their Kedushin to their Kalas. The Vishavu Inu Shliach. The women as well appoint the two of them, the two sisters together appointed one common Shliach to receive their Kedushin. Upaga shliach b'shliach, and then one shliach meets up with the other shliach and hands in the kedushin. At that same moment, as soon as the kedushin is handed over, you have all three yisurim happening with asachas. They, each of the two women becomes an eshes ish, as well as achoyz ishtei, as well as eshes achid. But how is nidus with asachas with all the other ones? Amrav, v'shoifes mitoch yud gimel la'achas shloisha aser, l'chiyu v'yinu. You have to have a case where the women became nidah. Shoifes literally means like they're flowing blood. Shoifes literally means they're flowing blood, but actually it doesn't literally mean they doesn't literally have to be flowing the whole time. It just means they became nidah and had not yet gone to the mikveh, Tosfos points out. So suppose the girls became nidah just before the boys turned 13. And that way, so similar to the case we had of the cotton who was a czar who did the avodah or whatever, below 13, nothing is chal anyway. There's no Eastern chal anyway because they're below 13. And when they become 13 and then their kedushin are chal, these kedushin, Rashi described the scenario when these boys made these shluchim and these girls made the shluchim, the boys were below 13 and the girls were below 12. Which, okay, you would say kedushin cotton doesn't accomplish anything. But in this case, they told the shliach the kedushin should only take effect after we become 13 and they become 12.
Then the
issue of nidah, the women, the girls were nidah already before the boys turned 13, and therefore that makes the boys chayev, and therefore the issue of nidah comes with asachas with all the other ones, because all four, the three, the kedushin as well as the nidah, as well as the issue of nidahs on the boys happen at the same time.
Even they were less than 13?
No, that's the thing, because when they became 13, the girls were already nidah.
When they became 13?
That's what we're saying.
Right. And
then you also have to have that this same nidus also happened before the girls turned 12 and continued into when they turned 12 in order that they'll be chayav. Otherwise, we're not going to have the 16 chatois. That's Rashi's explanation of the situation. Tosfos and a number of other rishonim argue on that. First of all, among other things, the cotton can't take a shliach. So what are you talking about over here? So they bring a different gear from a sefer from the time of the Gaonim called Bosar Agavik Gecholim, which is talking about that the girls became nidah before they were three, which only at three are they roi labia, and then they still were nidah when they were 12 and he sort of machal on them. So in other words, we're talking about the boys were in fact over bar mitzvah, but they were only appointed the shliach and were makadosh the girls after they themselves were bar mitzvah. The girls themselves at the time were less than three, and they didn't end up actually marrying them until they were past 12, and they were still nidah because they never toveled. So therefore, you could have a case where all these four sort of happened. Vasachas and even Rav Shimon would agree that all of them are chal then.
So Rav Shimon doesn't agree on Israel, so except the Batachas.
Except the Batachas. That was the Maskana, he said, yes.
The Maskana.
Then the Mishnah had said that in this case, that once the chuppah has happened, once each of them has accidentally been with the wrong one, we say mafrish mosan. We have to separate them from their husbands for 3 months in case they're pregnant. By 3 months already, you'll be able to tell whether the woman is pregnant. We'll have more about that in the next part. Question is, v'ha in isha misaberes, v'vir rishayna. A woman can't become pregnant from the first time. It's not 100% of the time. There are exceptions, but by and large, that's the general rule. And again, Torah alaroy for dabber. So why are we so worried that they might be pregnant? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, shabal rishanu. You know what? You're right. But you could be talking about a case over here where each of the chasanim did bia with who they thought was their kala twice. So one time they did one time and then broke the psulim, and then they did again that same night or another night or whatever before the mix-up was found out, and then they could become pregnant from then. Yeah. I should mention, by the way, technically al pi halacha al pi dinah de gemara, the dam psulim does not make the woman tummy. So theoretically, it is possible on the wedding night to do bia over and over and not have a problem. It's not even midrabanan. If I remember correctly, it's not even from the Gemara. It's from a later tachana from the time of the Gaonim. or whatever, that you shouldn't rely on that, because it's too easy to mix up dam sula and dam nida, because it's possible that maybe she had nida at that time and didn't realize it and whatever, and therefore we're machmir on dam sulam as well. The only thing is, we are slightly make on it in order to demonstrate that we know that dam sulam and dam nida generally are different. That therefore, for one thing, with dam sulam we only wait 4 days before she has to start counting the seven, as opposed to dam nida where we wait 5 days. And number two, there's one other kula with the hakakas that I think the chassan is allowed to sit on the kala's bed when she's not there, unlike with real nida where he wouldn't. Yeah. But anyway, here we're talking according to the original din of the Gemara, where they would be able to do bia as many times as they want, because dam sulam is not an issue, and so that's what we're saying. The question is, we might ask, well then, what about this that we learned from Priya's Vrais before? He said there's 16 chatois. In that case, if each of the husbands did bia with the woman twice, plus in the tariq of habiyah, then you have to double it. Each bia is considered a separate isu chatois.
So then you have
32. Which actually, I mean, we said before one part. There is actually a machlokas in Krisis and in a few other places in Gemara. Are you chayav chatos for each action that you do, or are you only chayav chatos if you knew in between that you made a mistake? We learned about this in Shabbat. Now, we learned before, we had a possibility that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer also holds that you chayav on every action whether you knew in between or not. So according to the Chachamim, fine, you would say he'd only be chayev, each of them would only be chayev if they did the first bia, then realized that they had the wrong woman, and then went and did bia again, and then forgot, and then went and did bia again. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need that.
Every time
you need to be chayev 32. The answer is really time. Okay, go even according to that. Go even further in that. Then, of course, look at it this way. If you're saying according to Rabbi Eliezer is not just chayev on every action. He's chayev on every koyach. Every movement, basically. We learned that the Gemara explains in Shavuot and in Krisus that if we know, I mean, you get pleasure from each individual movement, and there's halachas in that connection. You have the famous case of Roya Machas Tashmish or whatever, where a woman becomes nidya in the middle of Tashmish, where the din is, you can't withdraw right away because you have hanah withdrawing as well. You have to wait until things die down. So Rabbi Eliezer actually says, if you're with a woman who's author, then you hire for each individual stroke. So then, because according to the Chachamim, for sure not. Because according to the Chachamim, you need your dia between. You need to know that in between. You need to know that you did something wrong and then forget again and do it again. You're not going to have that in the middle there. So prove a havyan. So according to the other, you'd have a lot more than 16. Elo de b'koyach rishon kachashiv. Obviously, the answer is you would have to say that Abchia is only talking about the first koyach. He's talking about the first stroke, basically. Hachanami de b'yir rishon kachashiv. The same way you can answer that he's only listing the first b'yir. It's true. In order for the woman to possibly be pregnant, you'd need two b'yirs. But we're not getting into that. The very first time that each of these men is with each of these women, that alone makes them chayav 16 chatos. What happens after that, we're not getting into.
Theoretically,
we could. You're telling me that a woman can't become pregnant from Bia Rishayna? But we find Tamar, Yehuda's daughter-in-law, who became pregnant from Yehuda by the first Bia. What do you mean that's right? What makes you think it was her first Bia? She was married before to Aaron Oinon. The Gemara's going to take that up in a minute. We don't mean her first bia with a particular man. We mean her first bia in her life, with the one that breaks or the one that breaks from solo.
Big difference.
That's a big yeah.
Oh, you didn't mention this.
No, well, right. Mepharshim points out the Gemara could have answered very simply. We're not talking about these women in the Mishnah are not solo. And then it would have been more straightforward. Okay, but Knisa L'Chopa implies that they're psolos because if they're previously married already, then it's not really Knisa L'Chopa, then you actually need Tia, whatever. So Tamar became pregnant from the first Bia. Amalei says, then Tamar be'esma miyacha. Tamar removed her psolim by hand, basically, before she was with Yehuda.
She didn't have psolim.
That's what we're going to get back to that in a minute. Wait. The Amr of Yitzchak, and we find Rabbi Yitzchak says, and she did that precisely because she wanted. She did that precisely because she knew she's only going to have the one shot with Yehuda, and she wanted to become pregnant from him. So she specifically removed her b'solus. Rashi, actually, Rashi in last week's parasha pointed out the same thing with Benoit Lloyd. How did Benoit Lloyd become pregnant from Lloyd? Same idea, they'd never been with anyone. Rashi says the same thing. They also, they removed their b'solus, and for the same reason. They knew they were only going to have one shot at it. We'll get to that in a minute. Because we find Rabbi Yitzchak said all the women of Beis Rebbe who specifically remove their psulim before they get married, moach literally means like they crush it, like they crush it between their fingers and remove it. All of them tamashman, they're all called tamar after the lamanik rishman tamar al shem tamar shem yachav as well. They're called after the original tamar. The original tamar did it l'shem shemayim because she wanted to have the chance to become pregnant from Yehuda. These women of Beis Rebbe who do this also, what the Mefarshim say, they know their husbands immediately after the wedding are going to be going away for many years to learn Torah. They want to have a chance, meanwhile, to have children. So therefore, they arrange to have their children removed beforehand so they don't have this Eni Shemes Haberes and Vira Shana problem. Other Mefarshim. Yeah, apparently. We see the Tamar and then these women of Beis Rebbe are praised for it. In general, the Gemara says in Nida Noshim Lav Nois Hagoshen, that women are not able to be Motzi Zerah Levatala. They don't have Zerah to be Motzi Levatala. Therefore, they can do Bedikas and whatever as much as they want in that area and not have a problem. Whereas with men, you have to minimize the amount of Bedikas because, yeah. Okay. Other Mefarshim explain also the Zavaris that we find with Yaakov Avinu that he was the very first Zera that ever came from him had formed a baby. He said to Reuben Bechori Yasa. So it's a close relation only. You actually says over there that in this case these women are basically want the same thing for their husbands. They wanted to they wanted that their husbands should also be able to have that close. Beis Rebbe means the family of the Nisiyah. No, Yaakov says to Reuben when he says on his deathbed, Reuben b'chor yata chos v'reishis oni. Rashi says him there. V'reishis oni means that they never had Zera before that. Yeah. Anyway, you might ask what he means. What do you mean? Tamar was a psula v'ha'av or erva onan? She was married previously. Yeah. The answer is erva onan shim shu shaloi kadarka. Aaron onan had relations with her shaloi kadarka. How we know that? We'll get to it in a minute.
How could she be pregnant?
She, who says she was? She wasn't pregnant. That's the whole point. She didn't have children with Aaron Einon. She was married to Er. Er, the pasuk says, he was Rab Eini Hashem, and then therefore he died. So Yehuda tells Einon do Yibum with her. He doesn't. He goes and does Yibum, but he doesn't want to have children with her. He lo yazor or whatever. So he does the same thing as Er. He also dies. Yehuda is nervous to have her marry Sheila, so she's sitting around a while, and then she ends up being with Yehuda. So she's with Yehuda. It's her first time. Kedarka. Well, it says, a contradiction. What do you mean? What do you mean it was Shalai Kadavka? A Braisa says, "Call Esther Vaba Chodesh." When a woman is nursing, and we know we learned back in the first parak the problem when she's nursing, if she becomes pregnant again, it'll curdle or whatever, it'll ruin her milk, and then the baby, her existing baby, is not going to have what to nurse. Therefore, during that 24 months, if she's going to be with her husband, Dosh Mivufnim Mizorim Vachot, he can do he does bia. But he spills it outside. It's called Dosh Mifnim Mizorah Bachot. It's a coitus interruptus. It's called in English. He's allowed to do that. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Omru Loi. But they said to him, no, you can't do that. Halolu Einav Ela Kamaisa Erva Einan. Doing that is acting like Aaron Einan. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be Motzi Zera L'Matala. So what do the Chachamim say? The Chachamim can say that we learned in the first parak there's a possibility maybe she's Meshamish B'moich, maybe even not Meshamish B'moich and Shemesh Tzayim Hashem. Meshamish B'moich, we have two possibilities over there. Either it means that she puts in some moich ahead of time in order to absorb the Zera, so she doesn't become pregnant again, or Tosfos had said that it meant that she actually uses moich afterwards to wipe it out. Whatever it is. But so Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you could... So what is the point? The Chachamim are telling him what Aaron Onan did was Hetzar Zela Vatala. So we see that's what it was, wasn't Shalai Kadavka? The answer is, Kimas Erva Onan Veloi Kimas Erva Onan. What the Chachamim mean is, doing that is similar to what Aaron Onan did, but not exactly. Kimas Erva Onan Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, V'hayim Bar Leishas Acha B'Shifes Arta, it says that he wasted his Zera. But it wasn't exactly the same way. In Aaron Onan's case, they wasted it by doing Shaloi Kedarka. And in the case of the Hoch Kedarka, whereas here we're talking about doing a Kedarka but wasting it outside.
Here wasting the Kedarka.
Yeah. So there's a difference. No, so we're saying that Aaron Onan was Shaloi Kedarka. That's why we're saying Tamar was a Psula at the time when she would have been a Psula if not for this Miyacha Be'asfei. Okay, I can understand why we see that Onan did something wrong or whatever. Actually, on the Pasuk brings that they were Joshua Rishonim Bezorah B'Lachot, what the Gemara is saying over here. My portion explained that Rashi on the Pesukim doesn't always go according to the Maskana, and the Gemara just goes according to with a more straightforward meaning in the Pasuk. Anyway. Okay, I can understand why we see what Onan did wrong. The Pasuk says he wasted his Zera. No. Either way, it can be called wasting it. Whether it's outside or whether it's Shaloi Kedarka, either way, it's wasted.
Right.
Fine. Onan, we see he did that. Ela Ermin Olan. How probably we see when we say Erga Onan? How do we know Er did any such thing? Avram Nachmit Tiv by Yomas Dam Oisa, because the passage says Hashem killed also him, meaning Onan. Afu Oisa Misameis. It means that he died for the same reason that his brother did. So both of them were guilty of the same thing. Okay, the Gemara asks, incidentally, by the way, let's finish the next two lines and I'll tell you something. Mishlema Oinon, okay, I can understand why Oinon would have done that. Mishlema Loilo Yezara, the positive says, he felt the children are not going to be considered his, they're going to be considered as if they were heirs, he didn't even want to get involved. Ella Er my time, Avotachi, why would Er Bechal have done such a thing? Why would he have done Shaloi Kedarka or Joshua Kim Bezara Bechot, whatever? The answer is Kadesh Lo Yakish Yachar. He didn't want that Tamar should become pregnant and then her beauty will be ruined. It was selfish like that.
He didn't do it.
The pasuk says he didn't do it because he didn't want that the children that he has, he felt are going to be considered as if they're heirs rather than his. Because that's we said by Yibum, I'll be Kabbalah. There's the idea that the neshama of the baby is the neshama of the brother, is a Gilgul of neshama. He didn't want that apparently. Yeah. That's the pasuk says he loyma yiazara. It'll be considered like this baby is not really his, like it's his brother. Yeah. This short discussion over here, by the way, is a source for an halacha. It talks about the question, is a man, we know definitely there's no question, the Gemara is saying over here, a man is never allowed to be Motzi Zera L'Vatala outside of the body. What about, is he allowed to do Shaloi Kedarka? From our Gemara, it seems that not. We're saying that that's what Aaron and Onan were punished for. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Nedarim that seems to imply that you are allowed to. So Mepharshim have a field day with it. First of all, does that Gemara in Nedarim actually mean Shaloi Kedarka, or does it just mean different positions? Second of all, is there a possibility, maybe based on that Gemara, maybe it's something in Shulchan Aruch it brings opinion that maybe it's something you shouldn't do on a regular basis, but like it might be bakrai ba'alma, like as a one time thing, or like you know as a really some of course actually say bakrai ba'alma literally means like one like a person has a heter for it one time in his life basically. Because it was saying because we have that Gemara and Nedarim that implies it's mutter, but we have our Gemara that implies it's aser. So that one way of reconciling it is to say that for one time it's mutter, but otherwise it'll be it. Because after all there is a difference. I mean, we say, for example, we know there's no issue of hetzaras de'el matala if the woman's unable to give birth. But by the same logic, if you're doing shaloi kedarka, it's true it's also not able to make her pregnant. But nevertheless, it is a kind of bia. It does have the status of bia in many places and in most places in halakha. So therefore. Yeah. Tanarabba, which actually just gets to the next piece of Gemara over here. Tanarabba, I'm going to be a little bit right. The Pasuk describes, and then Parshas in Akrimos, that if a man and woman have relations, then both of them become Tameh. If Isha Asha Yishkav Oiso Ishik Vazera, they both become Tameh, they both have to go to the mikveh and they're Tameh till that evening. They're considered an Avatoma, I think.
Avatoma?
I think so. Once they go to the mikveh, then they're Tavula Yom, and then yeah. Now, so the pasuk uses the expression that Asher Yishkav Oisa Shichvas Zera. What does the Oisa add? Prat l'kala. It comes to exclude a kala, that a woman who's being married for the first time. She does not need to tovel after relations because. Well, one second. We're going to get to that. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. The Chum remember prat l'shaloi kedarka. The Chum say it comes to exclude if they had relations shaloi kedarka.
Then she doesn't become
Tameh. If it was Kedarka, whether it's a Kala or not, then she is. But if it's Shaloi Kedarka, she doesn't. Rashi points out on the pasuk over there, really, when you get down to it, this halacha is a little strange anyway. In general, the halacha is negiyah beis hasarim is not considered negiyah. If you touch something tameh with a part of your body that's normally hidden, you don't become tameh. For example, you know, you touch something that's tameh with your armpit, for example, you're not going to become tameh. So why b'chlal? Okay, shikhva zera is tameh. Why does a woman become tameh when the shikhva zera touches her beis hasarim? That's not a normal. So it's gzeiras hakasuk because it's hidden, but it's gzeiras hakasuk. So therefore, if it's shaloi kadarka, then the gzeiras hakasuk doesn't apply according to the chacham. Amar lo hoyin greider of Nachman, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman's son Hoyin asks him, leimah kasavar of your. The chachamim, I can understand why they say shaloi kadarka. You're not tamei, because the Torah uses the expression because the Torah uses the expression shichvas dera, which implies that it has to be something that's able to make her become pregnant. But Lema Kasavar of Yehuda, Torah Chos Al Tachshite Kala. Should we say the reason why the Torah doesn't make this Kala Tovel after the first relations is because the Torah has Rachmanos on her makeup? The Kala is made up. She's going to have to go to the mikvah. She's going to have to take all that off. Maybe the Torah is makeup on her in order that she doesn't have to take all that off. Amalei says that's not the reason. The reason is Lefishein Isha Misaberet to be a Rishona. Because, as we said, a woman can't become pregnant for the first time. So therefore, when she's a Kala, when she's a Psula, then there's no possibility that she's pregnant, and therefore, yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah. So then what's the machlokes? Rabbanan sabri shichva zera prat lahara. The Chachamim say that when the Torah, there's two mi'utim in the pasuk. The expression in the pasuk, v'isha asher yishkab ish oisa shichva zera. So the oisa we were just talking about. And then you have the word shichva zera, which implies that it has to be zera that's capable, that has to be shichva, that has to be a line that's capable of producing zera, that's capable of producing a child.
Oisa meant
her. Meaning, as opposed to somebody else. Well, that's what we're getting to. So the Rabbanon Sabri, Shichva Zera, Prat Lahara. The Rabbanon say you have two miyotim over here. The word Shichva Zera comes to exclude she does not become Tomei only from Hara. We'll learn later on in the Masechta, in the Nun, that you have Hara, which is the first stage of Bia, and then you have Gmar Bia. We'll learn what exactly the definitions are later. So the Chachamim say that the word Shichva Zera comes to exclude Hara, because at that point she's not going to become pregnant from just that.
The
beginning of Bia. Well,
she could become pregnant.
But you don't normally emit Zera at that time, so she's not going to.
No, it's, I mean,
but we're not talking about it. In other words, the Bia itself, the Prapara, Oisa, Shalai Kadavka. The word Oisa comes to exclude Shalai Kadavka. Beard of Yehuda, Shalai Kadavka, Hara, and Shechva Zera Nafka. He says, no, those two things you can both learn from the word Shechva Zera, because both of those equally well are not going to be able to make her pregnant. And Oisa, Prat Lakala, and therefore we have the word Oisa available to teach us that the Kala is also Pater. Another thing on this topic of when women are able to become pregnant, he also Robin, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that Rabbi Yechanan said, Kol Shashasa Achabayla Esa Shana Menisit, any time a woman has been around alone after her husband for 10 years, so her husband died or divorced her, and she's been unmarried for 10 years, the nisses, and then she remarries, shuv any yeledes, she's not going to give birth after that. Rav Nachman, loishonu elo she'en died to lehinos. Rav Nachman says this is only if during those 10 years she never had any intention to remarry. Abel died to lehinos, but if she intended to remarry Miss Haberes, then she will be able to become pregnant. Yeah. We find actually when Naomi and first Orpah and Ruth together are coming with her back from Moab, she's trying to convince them, go back home, you don't have a future with me. She says over there that even if I were to get married tonight and have children, you're going to sit around and wait for them until they grow up. So the Medrash points out, this is what the Pasuk says, they've been in Moab for 10 years. That day when they're having this conversation is exactly 10 years since Abimelech had died. So Naomi is telling them basically this is, even tonight would actually be my last chance. If I don't get married tonight, I'm never going to become pregnant anyway. But even if I were to do that, become pregnant, what are you going to sit around and wait till these hypothetical children grow up? Amalei Rava Labas Rav Chista. So one time in this connection, Rava says to the daughter of Rav Chista, who was his wife, he says to her, Kamarani Rabbanan Abbasrich, the Rabbanan are talking behind your back. You were previously married. Her first husband had been Rami Bar Chama, the Amora. Rami Bar Chama had passed away, or divorced her, whatever, I think it was, he passed away, whatever. And Rava had many years later remarried her. and the Rabbanan are wagging their tongues. They're wondering, how are you talking? How are you having children all these years later? They're wondering how it's possible. We're establishing that a woman who's been unmarried for 10 years is in for it all, and then she says to him, during all that time I had my mind set on you. What happened? What did she have her mind set on him? Tosfos quotes from the Gemara in Bava Basra tells the story. When this woman, Rav Chiya's daughter, when she was little, when she was a little girl, one time Rav Chista is teaching his Talmidim, Rami Bar Chama and Rava, and she's sitting on her father's lap. And her father asks her, maybe as a joke, maybe seriously, I don't know, which one of these two Talmidim would you like to marry? And she says, both of them. Both of them. So what happened? She ended up marrying Rami Bar Chama first. And then Rami Bar Chama died, and then later on she married Rava. So the Gemara uses this as an example of the idea that we see that children have a certain level of nevuah. So what happened then? All those years after Rami Bar Chama died, she was still looking forward to marrying Rava. Just Rava himself, meanwhile, had a wife, so she had to wait. It's true, you could marry two wives in those days, but most people didn't. So she had to wait until Rava himself is available.
Children?
I don't know. We don't know. So the Mefarshim asks, so what is Rava telling her? So what are the Rabbanan wagging their tongues for? What is their business?
Right.
And they explain that during all those years, different people have been proposing marriage to her. She's a daughter of a priest, after all. She's a tzaddikus in her own right, and her father is a Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik, and she always turned them down. So they always figured she doesn't have any intentions to get married. But now when she marries Rava, then they started wondering what's going on. And she's saying, you know why I turned down everybody else? Because I was waiting for you.
We don't know if she had children.
I don't know. Pashtus apparently, or apparently, he or she did, because otherwise, what's the question? Yeah. Another case, Hatida asked the Chamei de Rav Yosef, a woman once came to Rav Yosef, Omer lo, Rebbe, Anosha hisiacha baili eseshanim v'yaladi. I was single for 10 years after my husband died, and I still gave birth. Omer lo, he tells her, Biti, my daughter, don't cause people to doubt what the Chachamim are saying. The Chachamim are saying 10 years and 10 years. Amrulay, she says to him, actually, there's another detail I have to add. During that time, I had relations with a goy. Well, then that resets the clock. Or some of Farshim say, it doesn't even have to mean that she's literally... Yeah, because that's what we're saying. If during the 10 years she had relations, or she had even intended to marry somebody, which actually some of Farshim say, doesn't mean that she literally had relations with a guy. She wouldn't have been debased herself like that. She meant during that 10 years, I had thoughts of marrying this guy.
But if having relations, not married,
you can't. No, but it does. The point is the very fact that because it's a physiological thing, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a guy, So therefore, so what Chacham said did turn out to be true after all. If she had literally, during that 10 years, never had any thought of marriage or having relations with anybody, then yes, she would have been infertile. Amar Shmuel, going back to our Mishnah, when we said that the women over here who participated in this mix-up have to wait 3 months, v'cholon tzriches l'hamz in shleisha chadashim, in all cases where women had relations with their husband, and afterwards they're going to be marrying somebody else, or there's going to be whatever the different cases are, they always have to wait 3 months. Except for a slave woman, a shifchas ktana, who are children, but a born Jewish girl who's a ktana still would have to wait 3 months. Now we have to ask, who am I? In what way did this ktana's first marriage end? Even miyun, is it that it happened with miyun? But in that case, we learn later that Shmuel, we're going to learn in a minute, that Shmuel says in that case she does not actually need to wait 3 months. The reason why we're saying that the ktana has to wait 3 months, even though she can't be pregnant, is because if you allow a ktana to remarry after 3 months, you might think a gdola is also allowed to. Now, a gdola can't be divorced by miyun, only a ktana can.
Right.
So if she is divorced by miyun, there's no reason to make a gzera.
Right. Because everybody knows that she's...
Because everybody knows that she was obviously a ktana and she's not pregnant again. The Eva get, Tom or Shmuel Chada Zimna, and if she was given a get, then Shmuel already said that she has to wait 3 months. The Amar Shmuel, Mi'en Abayin Tzurich Lahamtan Shleish Chadashim, Shmuel says explicitly, if she does Mi'en, she does not have to wait 3 months. Nachal Get Tzurich Lahamtan Shleish Chadashim, but if he gives her a get, she doesn't wait 3 months. So Shmuel already said it. What would he have to repeat himself for? Ella biznus. So no, we're not talking about that she was married. We're talking about there was nus involved. The gazer rabbanan ktana mishum gdola. So in that case, the rabbanan made a gzera. So we have three possibilities. In other words, the tana could have been married, and there was miyun. In that case, we don't make a gzera. It could have been a get, then we do make the gzera. Now we have a third case where there was nus. We also make the gzera.
Nus of a tana.
Of a ktana, yeah. So we also make the gzera that therefore she'll have to wait 3 months mishum gdola because she might be confused with an older woman. Which, in that case, by Giyuris or Mishikaris, who was a child, we're not worried about that because that's already a rare case. The Chacham don't make Zedus on rare cases.
But she doesn't have to bring a Korban, but she's a Ketana.
Yes, no, we're not talking about it. And Znus doesn't necessarily have to involve a Korban either. It could have been a Znus with her, she's a Pnuya. She could be that she's not married, for example. But whatever it is, yes. Question is, Omigas winning Ketana Mishum Gdola? Do we Chacham make such a Zeda that we restrict Ketana because for the sake of Gdola? Well, it's not. But we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah that if the women who were involved in the mix-up over here with Ketanas, then they can return to their husbands immediately. He says, you're right, this is not a general thing. This is in one specific case it happened that they passed in this way. So that would imply that such a case actually happened. For one thing, before I should say, if such a case actually happened, the Mishnah shouldn't have just said the theoretical case, that actually happened. But no, what we mean is it's similar to Harasha, it's similar to a one-time thing. Because this kind of thing, that the two kalas should be exchanged, is also not common. So therefore, fine, with Gdolus we will still make the Gzeira, but we're not going to make the Gzeira on Ketanis, just like we're not going to make the Gzeira on Ketanis who convert, because it would be very unlikely. Lishnachrina Amila. This was version number one. Now, version number two is that
of
this discussion that we just had. Amar Shmuel, Kulan Tzrichas Ha'amtim Shlesh Chadashim, according to the second version, Shmuel says everybody has to wait 3 months. Chutz Megiyaris V'Shacheres Gdolus. Except for Giyaris or Mishacheres, who are adults. Avok, Tana, Bat Yisrael, and Yisrichel Hamzim Gimel Chadashim, which would imply then that a child, a Jewish girl, does not have to wait 3 months.
Why did Giyaris?
For the same reason. She might have become pregnant while she was still a goita, and now when the child is born, you're not going to know, is he a Yid or a goita? We're going to have in the men's a couple of cases called Hirase Shalai B'Kedusha V'Leidase B'Kedusha, where a child is conceived when one or another of his parents is still a guy, and then by the time he's born, that parent has already converted. But that still has implications by law. So we want to know, was this Giyaris pregnant before? Yeah. So we're saying if she's an adult, she'd have to wait. But we're saying that a Tana should not have to wait. So before we were saying that only a child Mishaferis doesn't have to wait, but an adult one would. Here, according to the second version, we're saying even an adult Giyaris or Mishaferis does not have to wait, which why not? We'll talk about it in a minute. So first of all, okay, Haktana Bat Yisrael and Tzrichel Hamtim Gimel Chadashim, the implication is that Haktana Bat Yisrael, and how much more so these ones, doesn't have to wait 3 months. And again, we have to ask, Mamai, even Miyun. Did Tana's marriage end with Miyun? There's no problem. We find already Shmuel said previously that you don't need to wait. He doesn't have to repeat himself.
Because nobody would confuse.
Yeah. And if she was got a get, Ha'am Shmuel Debaya, then we find that Shmuel said that she does need
wait 3 months.
To wait 3 months. Nothing like that. So again, we have the same answer that if we're talking about in the case of Znus. Uznus with Tana lo shchiach. It's not common znus, so therefore before we were saying that yes, the Tana does have to wait, because even though znus by Tana may not be shchiach, but still there is the concern that you might confuse her with a gdola. Here we're saying lo shchiach, and therefore she doesn't have to wait. So this second version is pretty much the opposite of the first version, then as far as who has to wait.
It's not shchiach, and over there we said it is.
There's two different ways of looking at it. Okay, so it's not shchiach, but the first of all time we weren't saying whether it's shchiach or not, but we're saying there's still reason to make a gzeira mishum gdola. Okay, the question is gyoris and
shchiach.
Yeah. No, okay, the question then becomes gyoris and shchiach, the shchiach goes no slixer. Okay, then how about by an adult, by a gyoris or shchiach, even a child, by the goyim are promiscuous, so why shouldn't we make a gzeira? You're telling me, according to the first version, we said, okay, according to the first version, we said that a katana, we are going to make the gzeira mishum gdola, but fine, a katana who's also a gyora is lo shchiach. But now that we're saying the other way around, we're saying a katana bat yisrael is b'chlal lo shchiach, that there should be this, it's unlikely that there should be a znus. Okay, but if that's the case, if it is more common by goyish women or by shivchas, that there will be.
Then you consider a gyora a goyish woman.
She was a goyish woman until she converted. That's what we're saying. After she converts, she has to wait 3 months. This halacha, by the way, still applies nowadays. Also, if you have cases, we talked about previously, for example, we had a halachas hanoyim whether a person is allowed to convert for the sake of marriage. But sometimes, you know, we know it's happened sometimes nowadays that a Jewish man and a Jewish woman are married against halacha, of course. Later on, the woman becomes a geyora. And there are achronim who hold that such things are allowed. We talked about, for example, that the Achiezer holds that maybe yes. There's different poskim that say that yes. According to the Shittis, that yes, they will be megayer her, fine, but then they will make her stay away from her husband for 3 months for precisely this reason. Anyway, so why aren't we gozer by a katana according to the second version? The answer is, Huda Amakir Rabbi Yosi, because according to the second version, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, Hagiyoras Vashvuya Vashivcha Shenifdu Vashenishkaru Vashishtakru. If you have a Giyoras or a Jewish woman who was captured by Goyim, where there's concern that the Goyim may rape her, or a Shivcha Shenifdu, where they were freed, Vashenishkaru, or became a Giyoras, Vashenishakru, or they were emancipated, all those cases, Trichasant and Gimel Hadashim, they all have to wait 3 months, different of Yehuda. But Rabbi Yossi says she's allowed to get engaged and she's allowed to get married right away. So the point is, we see Rabbi Yossi is master right away. So by the same token, Shmuel is saying that a Giyoras or a Meshacheres can get married right away.
Why is he master Rabbi Yossi?
That's the question. Why? Omer Rabba, my time is Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's reason? Kasava, because he holds Isha Mizana Mishameshes for Moich Kadesh Lodisabr. He says that a woman who commits his nus is going to use Moich, according to either of the definitions that we said before, in order that she won't become pregnant. So therefore, the chance of her becoming pregnant from this nus is much lower. You use whatever it is. I mean, they had various kinds of contraceptives in those days. They weren't quite as effective as the ones nowadays, but still, you know, they had. Okay, so let's review then. So what are we saying? That a woman who is mezana is going to prevent herself from becoming pregnant. So let's consider the three cases. I can understand then in that case why a giyoris, we're not worried about the 3 months according to the BIC, given the dietary giyoris, since already she's planning to become a giyoris, mitzra napsha, so already she's going to start watching herself, she's already going to start being careful of znus, or even if she's mezana, that she'll be careful to use the moich. Because she herself will know that it's important to make a distinction whether her child is conceived in kedusha or not. Shvuyah v'shivcha nam.
Even if her child is from a Jew.
Yeah, because she's still a goat, the child still follows the mother. And in the case of a woman who was taken captive or a shivcha, the reason why we say they'll be careful during that before they're freed is because they hear from their masters or from their captors that they're going to be freed, so therefore they start watching out for things. Which, I mean, how does the question is, the Mepharshim asks, I mean, how does a woman who was taken captive, how does she know b'chol? I mean, it's not like they tell her in advance we're going to be freeing you. They explain the Gemara in Ksubas has this discussion also, and the Gemara in Ksubas says a little bit differently that the vort is that the Shvuya figures any time now they may take me to a place where there are Jews and Jews will do pidyon shvuyim and therefore I'll be free. So therefore she is careful even if the captors are going to rape her, she'll be careful to use moich in order to avoid becoming pregnant. That's the case of a regular shivcha. What about, we know there's more than one way a shivcha can become free. One way is that she pays for her freedom. Another way is that her master decides to free her and gives her a shtar, fine. But then there can also be the case of shein v'ayin, where her master accidentally knocks out her eye or her tooth or any one of 24 other important organs, and then she automatically goes free on that basis. You can't know that in advance. How would it be possible that during the 3 months before that happened, she's already being careful not to become pregnant, such that when it happens, we know automatically she's not pregnant? How can Rabbi Yossi say that? You might answer that Rabbi Yossi says in all cases, we're saying that any time it's just a casual thing, then Rabbi Yossi is moider. In other words, that it's only when they were married, that it's only then when they were married that we're worried about the 3 months, but otherwise not. Can't be. Vatanan, but we can't say that. We learn it from Tanya, actually. We learn that Rabbi Yossi means that Rabbi Yossi means that Rabbi Yossi means Rabbi Yossi means that Rabbi Yossi means that Rabbi that maybe in any case of Mamela, when something happened unexpectedly, maybe Rabbi Yossi would be Moida. Mamela means, in other words, we're saying like this. In the previous cases, we're saying the woman knows that she's going to be waived, or she knows that she's getting ready to become a viewer or whatever, so she can prepare Moida ahead of time. But Mamela, she does. If it happens all of a sudden, she may not have the time. So maybe Rabbi Yossi is Moida. She has to wait the 3 months. Can't be, Valtanya. And also, a woman who was raped or was seduced, also, which is Mimela, because it happens unexpectedly. Srichal Hansen Gimel Chadashim Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says she has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Masul Oretz Vila Nasa Miyad. Rabbi Yehuda allows her to get to Rabbi Yossi. I mean, allows her to get to do Eresin or Nisuin right away. Obviously, and it's not a question of whether she had time to prepare or not. Ela Omer Abaya. The difference is, it's not a matter of moich. Rather, Isha Mizanim is hapeches shalei desaber. A woman who commits znus is going to afterward turn over. Some kind of exercises or whatever to get the zera out in order that she doesn't become pregnant. That you can do even if you don't have money. So even in a case of Anusa Mufutu Rabbi Yossi Fields, she'll make arrangements to get the zera out. The Idach, so what is Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, okay, Hashin Shemalin is half yapa yapa. Okay, but she might not do it thoroughly. Some zera might remain behind and then she becomes pregnant, and therefore you have to be choshish for that. That's why she has to wait for 3 months. Let's finish the parak at least. But actually, we have a ways to go till 9:30, so we can even start the next one. We'll see. One thing, incidentally, about this Nishapta Yafa Yafa business is we learned back in Megillah that according to many opinions, Esther was actually married to Mordechai, but then Achashverosh took her.
Yeah.
And we learned there that after she was with Achashverosh, she would tovel and come back to Mordechai secretly because she still wanted to be with him. And the question is, how does she do that and not have a problem of being able to tell between Zeresh and Izra B'Kdusha and Zeresh Lo Izra B'Kdusha? One answer is based Tosfos in terms of it here based on our Gemara, this Hapsa Yapa Yapa. She'd be very, very careful to get all the Zera out in order that she can't possibly be pregnant from Achashverosh. Did it work? Well, you know, the standard thing is we say that she had Daryavish, so obviously it didn't work 100% of the time. But there is actually an interesting opinion from one of the Mepharshim, which now I can't remember which one, that Daryavish was actually Mordechai's son. Yes. Mishnah finished.
She would be even with the.
It was an oinus, right? That's the whole point. That's why she tells Mordechai, "Hasher avati avati." Now, for the first time in all the years I've been married, officially married to Achashverosh, this is the first time I'm going to him willingly. Up until now, it's always been oinus. A woman who is this is mutter to her husband, unless he's a kohen, which is the next point we're going to talk about over here. The Mishnah said, "Vimahayu kohenes." Although the Mishnah said that if these women were kohenes and they passed from Korona, the question is, what do you mean, kohenes ain yisraelis loy? What do you mean, only a kohenes would become possible? If they're yisraelis, also they're possible to ever marry a kohen because they're considered a zayin halacha. Yes, it was bonus, but that doesn't matter. Okay, eimayim hayin shei kohenim. Fine, let's change it. If they were wives of kohenim, they become also to their husband. Why is that?
If they were wives of
kohenim, then they become also to their husband.
What
kohen? Because even though it's Onus, the Kohen's wife who was Nana is still also to her husband. The question is, Neshe Kohenim Eini, Neshe Yisraelim Loi. So why? So you're still telling me that they would only become possible if they're wives of Kohenim right now, but not if they're wives of Yisraelim? What about? Suppose that later on these Yisraelim husbands of theirs die or divorce them. Are we saying they'd be allowed to marry Kohenim? Certainly not. Well, Amram of Amram, we find that Rav Amram says,
Hamil.
Right, if they were widowed, sorry, you're right, I forgot it. Yeah. Okay. Rav Amram says, Hamilsa Amalan Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us the following thing, Va'anharinu l'aynin mimasnitsin, and then he enlightened our eyes by pointing it out from a Mishnah, that the din is, Eshis Yisrael Shenansa, a wife of a Yisrael, who's Nana, Afmishim Ateris Labayla, even though she remains mutter to her husband, Afmishim Lekorna, she's still possible. If her husband ever dies, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So what is the Mishnah over here saying? The Mishnah should just say, Nipsulum in Akorna. Amar Rava Hachikama. Wait, but what the Mishnah means is like this. It's not talking about who they were allowed to marry afterwards. It means, if Hayu Koyanis Nisuris Yisrael, if these women are Koyanis who are marrying Mr. Elim, they're Bas Koyan, in other words, which married to Yisrael, Nifsulu Minat Truma Zeynashayu, then they will become forever puzzled from eating Truma from their father's house. Meaning, the Torah says, well, we have to explain that a little bit. The Torah says like this. A Bas Koyan is allowed to eat Truma. If she marries the Yisrael, she becomes also to eat Truma. As long as she has any descendants from that Yisrael, she's still also to eat Truma. If all of those descendants, if she never had any descendants from him, or if they die, then and her husband also has died or divorced her, then she's allowed to go back to eat Truma. As long as she wasn't a Zoyna in between. If she became, in this case, they become Zoynas because of the B.S. Isser, then she becomes forever off. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Hadron Allah Habah. I was figuring to be available until about 9:15, 9:30. So if you're available also, then we may as well catch up a little. Mishnah says, "Hacholus liyivimta." If someone does chalitza with his yivama, v'nimtzis muberes, and then it turns out she's pregnant, v'yolda, and she gives birth. So now, if she'd had the baby at the time, there wouldn't have been chalitza or yivam at all, obviously. Now, like this, so bisman shavlad shachayama. If it's a viable baby, so he lives more than if he lives 30 days or more, who mutter b'kreva sale? Because mutteret b'kreva. First of all, the chalitza does not have any effect on. He does not become also to marry her relative. If he had done chalitza with her, minatara, a man is also to marry his grusha's relative, like her sister or her mother or whatever. Midrabanan, the same thing applies to a chalitza. In this case, the chalitza had no effect. Because it turned out that she was, not because she was pregnant, because it turned out that she had a viable baby. It turned out that her dead husband had a child. There's no room for chalitza or yibum at all. There's no zika in the file. So it's the equivalent.
She had a child. She had delivered a child.
She had afterwards, she delivered a child.
But at the time of the chalitza.
At the time of the chalitza, she was pregnant. Right. But the point is, therefore, the chalitza had no effect. It would be the equivalent of me going and doing chalitza with somebody else's wife. It doesn't do anything.
You couldn't marry anybody.
No, obviously he can't marry her, there's no question about that. But the point is, therefore, he would be allowed to marry her sister, let's say. She's not considered his chalutza. She would be allowed to marry his brother or whatever. She's not considered his relative. Not his brother, actually, that's not a good example, but whatever. She'd be allowed to marry his whatever, all the different Arabs. And furthermore, he does not make her possible for marrying a Kohen. Again, Midrabanan, a chalutza is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Here, she's not considered a chalutza, therefore she's allowed to marry a Kohen. On the other hand, Ein Avlad Shachayama, what if it was a non-viable baby? Who also b'kreva seav, he has sort of b'kreva. Then he is also to marry her relatives, she's also to marry his relative. And she does become possible from the Kohenah, because it turns out she didn't have that. It turns out, after all, that it was a chalutza psula.
The chalitza is chal after the baby passes away. Is that what they're saying here?
In effect, yeah. I mean, maybe we could even say that retroactively it was chal as of then, but whatever. The point is that it was considered a chalitza to the point where they become also to each other's relatives.
After the baby passes away.
Maybe even while them, whatever it is, they as soon as they do this chalitza. Oh, okay, maybe after the baby. Oh, okay. No, but while she's pregnant, for sure they can't do anything because you don't know whether it was a valid chalitza or not.
Right.
Yeah. Akonis is yivim.
What are we talking about?
So that's what we're saying. In other words,
then I've lost your time.
If the baby turns out to not be viable,
then
the chalitza was. Then the chalitza turns out to have been good. Turns out to have been irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
But now the chalitza turns out to have been somewhat relevant. To the extent that it makes them also to marry each other's relatives, she becomes possible.
She was pregnant. She couldn't do chalitza.
We're going to talk about in the Gemara the actual question: if she does chalitza while she's pregnant, whether it has an effect. So fine. Here, for the purpose of our Mishnah, yeah. Let's say we're talking about what happens retroactively after the baby dies. Yeah. or after she miscarries, whatever, yeah. We're still the point is, we are saying, though, that the chalitza of our Mishnah, of the second case of the Mishnah, was not really valid chalitza. He's going to have to do a proper chalitza afterwards, because this one was no good, because we're not sure about it yet. Hakonis is yivimta v'nimtis mu'beret. How about the other way around? He married her, he did yivum, and then it turns out she's pregnant. V'yolda, and then she gave birth. Yeah, this is probably the same problem the other way around. Mizman shavlat shor chayama yoytzi. If it's a viable baby, then he has to divorce her. V'chayav and v'korban, and then each of them is going to be chayav in a korban and in a chafas because they had relations. They shes achiv, and there was no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of yivum. V'im ein v'lad shor chayama because it turned out that it was a viable baby. V'im ein v'lad shor chayama, and if it's a non-viable baby, you chayav, then he's allowed to stay married to her.
So all this is determined after the fact.
Yes.
And how long do you wait to say it's viable?
30 days is the general rule.
30 days?
Yeah. Suffolk ben Tisha L'Rishon, Suffolk ben Shiva L'Achron. What happens if you're not sure? Let's say, for example, you did Yibum within 3 months after the brother died, which you're not allowed to do La'alacha, but let's say you did that. So now, we said before that it takes 3 months for the baby to be recognizable, but there's another point also. We learned way back in Rosh Hashanah, and we learned in some other places also, that most babies, of course, are born after a 9-month pregnancy, but occasionally you have babies who are born in the 7th month, meaning after 6 months and change. We talk about, for example, Yitzchak may have been born from such a pregnancy, Shmuel was born from such a pregnancy. There's a few examples in Jewish history. So now, let's say he did Yibum two months after the first husband died, and now you have Suffolk Ben Tisha L'Rishon, Suffolk Ben Shiva L'Achron. We're not sure if this baby is a 9-month baby from the first brother or a 7-month baby from the second husband. Yotzi, he has to divorce her just in case, because if it was from the first brother, then she's also to him. Ba'avad kosher, either way, the baby is kosher, because either way, if it's from the first brother, then fine, it's a valid thing. And if the baby is from the first brother, then fine, though the second brother's via with her didn't possible the baby. And if it's from the second brother, then it's from the second one, then sure, there's no problem. Right. V'chayav and v'asham toli, in that case, each of them is going to be chayav and asham toli, because they did something which they're not sure if they're chayav chatas for.
That's what it means,
probably. That's asham toli, yeah. And the classic case of asham toli is that a person has in front of him two pieces of fat. One is chaylev, which is also to eat. One is shuman, which you're allowed to eat. He ate one of them. The other one is lost. And now he's not sure which one he ate. He brings an asham toli because he's not sure whether he did an aveira that's chayav chatas or not. If he ever finds the other piece in the garbage and he finds that it's the shuman, and now he knows he ate the chaylev, then he's going to have to bring an asham badeh.
And it's toli to what exactly?
Toli in the sense that, like, it suspends the punishment. Like, by rights, the person should be punished, kadris or whatever it is for this, but the asham toli suspends the punishment until we find out the fact. In this case, also, theoretically, if eventually we were to find out that this kid is from one or the other, then they would have to bring a chatas. Without DNA testing, though, you wouldn't be able to know, and even with DNA, I don't know if DNA testing would be valid halacha, but anyway. I don't know if it would be valid halacha, but anyway. Itmar, the Gemara says, they had a discussion. If somebody does chalitza with a pregnant woman, and then she miscarries, which amounts to the first case of our Mishnah.
After the chalitza.
Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the other brothers because it was a good chalitza. Rish Lakish says she's going to need chalitza from the other brothers because it wasn't a good chalitza. Now, what do we mean, by the way, by the other brothers? Now, Tosfos brings a couple of different possibilities of what it means. One is that it means that even this person himself, Reuven is a dead brother, even Shimon himself, who did the chalitza while she was pregnant, can redo the chalitza, because he himself is Zika, not gone away. This was a no-good chalitza, according to Rish Lakish. The other way of looking at it is that, the other way of looking at it is only one of his brothers can do chalitza, but not him, because in his case, to do another chalitza would be a chalitza psula. His brothers would be a chalitza kshera. And a third way of looking at it, that some of Farshim say, is that actually it means that all the brothers would have to do chalitza because it's the case of chalitza psula, and we learned previously that according to Rav, a chalitza psula, you have to go around for all the brothers.
Why would you say that for him it's not psula and for the other brothers?
No, on the contrary, you'd say for him it's psula because he already did one chalitza while she was pregnant.
Right.
The other brothers never did that, so for them it would be more of a chalitza kshera. Anyway. So yeah, we're going back to what you were asking in the Mishnah. Are we talking retroactively or what? This is the exact machlokes over here. Rabbi Yochanan is saying it was a good chalitza, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it was. Rabbi Yechon Ramah Ein Sar Chalitza Min Achen, because Chalitza from Ubera Shema Chalitza, because the Chalitza done with a pregnant woman can be considered a Chalitza, or Bia from Ubera Shema Bia, and the Bia with a pregnant woman can also be considered a Bia as far as Yibum. Meaning, if it turns out, like in our Mishnah, that she ended up having a non-viable baby or miscarrying or whatever, then yeah, but yeah, but retroactively, the Yibum will have taken effect. Rish Lakish Sricha Chalitza Min Achen, Rish Lakish says she does need Chalitza from the other brothers. Chalitza from Obera Shalosh Shema Chalitza, Obera Shalosh Shema Chalitza, Obera Shalosh Shema, because the Chalitza and the Bia, in this case, are no good.
That's because?
Because she was pregnant. But my complexity, what's the underlying machlokes? One possibility is you can say they're arguing based on a pasuk. The other possibility is you can argue they're arguing based on svara. Goes as follows. Suppose that while she's pregnant, Eliyahu HaNavi came and said, you should know, this woman who's pregnant is going to, this baby that she's carrying, she's going to end up miscarrying. Certainly she would be capable of doing chalitza and yibum, because we know at that point that the dead brother has no zera, has no viable children. So that by the same logic over here, retroactively, we didn't have a Yohan Havim telling us, but we ourselves saw that this baby died, or miscarried, or whatever.
We said we don't determine halacha by nevuah.
Okay, what we mean by a Yohan Havim, no, we don't determine halacha by nevuah means that if a Yohan comes and tells us the halacha is like a Yechon, and Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to listen to him. But if a Yohan comes and tells us facts, he comes and tells us, I have ultrasound, I'm able to look at this baby and see that it's not going to be viable, that's fine.
No,
it is Nebuah, but it's Nebuah to establish the fact, not to establish who the halacha is like. Okay, but that's for that purpose, you're allowed to answer. So the same thing over here. Retroactively, when the baby dies, we see that all along it wasn't viable, and therefore, yeah. Whereas Rosh Lakish says, no, we don't hold of this retroactive business. A few different reasons, a few different possibilities. Why? One of them being because, similar to what we're going to say in a minute, because after all, the Torah says that you have to check whether he has any children. Right now, you can't really say. At the time when she's pregnant, you can't really say whether he's going to have a child yet, because we don't have a Yohan Navi to tell us. A few other different ways of looking why Rish Lakish doesn't accept this Muslim Lafreya business. We don't say this. The Ibai say Makra, or you can say they're arguing based on a pasuk. Rabbi Yechon and Sava Oveinah.
That's
one explanation of their machlokes. We both aim a svara, or you can say they're arguing based on a pasuk. Rabbi Yechon and Sava Oveinah Ein Lo Yom Rachmana. The pasuk says that if he doesn't have a son, if he doesn't have a child, the Torah says, v'halaslei, and after all, he doesn't have a child because the child was non-viable. Whereas Rish Lakish says that the word Einloi implies Ayin Olav. Check into the situation. See whether there's any possibility. Well, right now, she's pregnant. There is a possibility. The baby she's carrying is going to be viable. Therefore, don't do Chalitza and Yibum at this point, and if you do, they're possible.
That's according to
Rish Lakish. A state of Yechon and Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yechon asks Rish Lakish, what do you mean? Our Mishnah has said, Eina Vlad Shachayama, that if the baby is non-viable, who also after the Chalitza, who also b'krevet seyavi, he also b'krevet u'pasul min ha-kohuna. We say that he's also to marry her relatives, she's also to marry his, and she's pasul from kohuna. So, b'shleim l'didi d'amina Chalitza s'mubre shmo Chalitza. What?
That's
the Mishnah. It's a Stam Mishnah. The halacha of Pashas is according to it. So, Bishleim al-Didi, Sarabi Yechon is telling Rish Lakish. According to me, we understand. Da'amina Chalitza Smobel Shema Chalitza. I say that this Chalitza was considered a good Chalitza, Mishmachi Pasol. That's why it's strong enough to Pasol her from Corona. Elo Lidach, Da'amina Chalitza Smobel Shema Chalitza. Am I Pasol Mina Corona? According to you, if Bechlal is not even a Chalitza, why is she Pasol Mina Corona? Amalei, he says, Midra Bana, no Lachuma Ba'alma. He says, okay, Midra Raisa, maybe she would. No, not Midra Raisa. The whole concept of a Chalutza being also for a Kohen is only Midra Bana. This itself is an extra Dindir Abana in it. It's a Chumra that the Chumra wanted to be Machna, even though it's not a good Chalutza, but still, people are not going to realize that. People might think that a Chalutza is allowed to marry a Kohen, therefore will be good. Ikadamri, others say that the discussion went the other way around. Esvira Shlokish Lerab Yechana. Ein Avlad Shachayama, that if the baby is, the Mishnah had said, if the baby, that here, according to this version, it's Rish Lakish using the Mishnah to ask on Rabbi Yechana. The Mishnah said that if a baby is not viable, who also b'kareva seva, he has to b'kareva. He's not allowed to marry her relatives, she's not allowed to marry his, or possibly not korona, and he passes her from korona. So, now, looking according to the Shlokish. Bishleim l'didi damina chalitza semeberes lo shmachalitza. According to the Shlokish, if we say that the chalitza was not a good chalitza, therefore, the Mishnah mentions the Chumra, that she is now possible to marry a Kayan, meaning she's still going to need Chalitza, but even at this point, even though she hasn't really had a proper Chalitza, she's already possible for the Kayan. Well, like, because she had a kind of Chalitza. As opposed to, the Mishnah could have mentioned the Kula, that she doesn't need Chalitza anymore from the other brothers. Which would have been a kula to say. And we know, better the Mishnah should mention something that's mutter than something that's aser. Ella, the didach, but according to the Rebbe Yerzanon, ain't a tzricha chalitza min achim, why is it only saying she's possible from korona? And now you're not sure whether she needs, and the Mishnah is not spelling out whether she needs chalitza from the other brothers. Say explicitly, she doesn't need chalitza from the other brothers. Obviously we know that means she's a good chalitza. That's the question on Rebbe Yerzanon. Omalai, so Rebbe Yerzanon tells him, ain't a chenami, true. But I need a ton of racial light possible, a ton of safe apostle. But because the first part of the Mishnah had used the expression light possible, that in the first case, where the baby was viable, the chalitza does not possible her, because there was the chalitza completely no good chalitza. Therefore, the safe also mentions psala, even though it's not really exact. According to me, it should say more than psala. It should say that she doesn't need chalitza anymore. But nevertheless, to keep things parallel, the Mishnah says like that. We've caught up pretty nicely, I think. With tomorrow, tonight, we should be able to cover Daf Lamed Vav. I think, yeah.